Welcome to Mill Spouse Matters, the podcast dedicated to encouraging military spouses. I'm Jen McDonald, and I was a military spouse for nearly 30 years until my husband's retirement. I'm also now the mom of an active duty son, a longtime writer for the military spouse world, and the author of the book, You Are Not Alone, Encouragement for the Heart of a Military Spouse. I created this podcast to bring you inspiration as you navigate your own military life, which can be amazing while also challenging. Whether you're dealing with a move, deployment, raising military kids, keeping your military marriage strong, or employment issues, we're going to talk about it. Military spouses, we're only stronger together. My goal is to bring you realistic hope and support for your own Mill Spouse journey. Hey guys, welcome to episode 41 of Mill Spouse Matters. This is Jen, and I'm so glad you're here with me today. So today, I'm doing something a little bit different. It's going to be a little bit shorter of an episode and a little bit different than originally intended. So I had a huge PCS resource episode all lined up, and in light of what's been going on in our country the past couple of weeks, I just could not continue on with that. My normal schedule as if everything was normal. So we're going to be talking today about difficult conversations. Are you having them? Do you remember the song that went red and yellow, black and white, all are precious in his sight? Jesus loves the little children of the world. When I was a little girl in kindergarten, we used to sing that song during our little morning opening time. And I'd look around at all my friends sitting in a circle, black, Hispanic, white, Native American, and see all the beautiful colors God had created just in skin tones. And I remember smiling and feeling in my soul, yes, all are precious in his sight. In my little crisscross applesauce ring of five-year-olds, it was so true to me. And it wasn't until I was older and began hearing some racist comments dropped here and there, and some by people I loved, that I started to realize that that was not always the way the world worked. Yes, God did make us all precious and unique, but the world didn't always see it that way. Like many other longtime military families, we raised our kids in the melting pot that is the military, and we taught our children to treat everybody with respect, that we're all the same, that we're all human. And I'm pretty sure they learned that lesson really well. They're adults now, and they've all had friends of all races, traveled the world, lived in countries where they were the minority, and I think they grew to appreciate different cultures. Military kids can be some of the most inclusive people around because they grow up all around the world. With the murder of George Floyd on May 25th by a police officer, while other police looked on, and the ensuing protests and riots, racism and race relations are at the forefront of all of our minds, all over social media and in our daily conversations. What happened was absolutely evil. If you saw that video, there's no other conclusion you can come to. It was heartbreaking. I've wondered what to say. I've wondered if I'll say it wrong and how to even approach this. So please bear with me. I've been talking to some friends, both in real life and online, and I wanted to address this. But please know that I'm treading lightly, and if I make a misstep or say something not quite right, that's on me. I'm going to be honest. In conversations with other white people, my family members and friends, we all agree that racism is terrible. We all agree that the murder of George Floyd and before him, other people like Ahmaud Arbery and Breonna Taylor, they were terrible things. We all say that. But I think back in the back of our minds, we think that those are exceptions. But for my black friends, it's indicative of a lurking problem that won't go away, this problem of racism. For them, it's a pattern. I think every normal person condemns the death of George Floyd. Most police condemn it. It was horrible to see his life taken that way. But it reveals something is really broken, that we can all do better. Even if we think we're not racist, even if we say, I'm not racist, there are still ways we can try to do better as a society and as individuals. I feel like a lot of us are having some difficult conversations we've never had before. It's easier sometimes to just leave it alone, to not talk about such hard things. These are hard things. Racism, injustice, maybe our own part in it. So first off, to all of my Black friends, colleagues, I see you, I hear you. I am sorry if I have failed you in the past. But it is not your responsibility to make me feel better about this. So today, I want to talk to those of you who are trying to become good or better allies to our Black friends and family members. I'm here and I'm trying, but it's not up to our Black friends to hold our hands and make us feel better about this. They're exhausted. They're tired. They're tired of fighting. It's okay to be learning. It's okay to change your mind about something you may have always believed and now realize you had wrong. It's okay to realize maybe we haven't done things well in the past and we're going to do better. We have to do better because no one should be marginalized or made to feel less than based on anything about them. I won't ever understand everything my Black friends go through. It's not possible. But I can listen and learn, and I will always support them. And I want to create space for other voices to be amplified. This isn't a safe or easy topic, so please don't misunderstand. What I am doing with this episode is not trying to make myself feel better. I just feel like it's a topic we can't ignore. So I'm going to share some advice I've been given over the past few days, and then point you to some resources if you're also looking to learn more, grow more, and help your kids as they grow up. I think posting on social media is valid. We just did the Blackout Tuesday today as I'm recording. Talking is valid, but then where do we go? Where do we go from here? We cannot stop fighting racism because it stops trending on social media. I was listening to a really good podcast this week by Pastor Stephen Furtick of Elevation Church with another pastor, John Gray. And they had a really very candid, honest discussion about this topic. And I'm going to link to that. And I really would recommend you listen to it. If you know me at all, if you've listened to anything from me or read my book, you know, first and foremost, I'm a Christian. So I am going to come at this from a Christian perspective, but I am providing resources from all different kinds of people. So one of the things Stephen Furtick says is, before you make a stand for something, first you have to take a seat. So to my white friends, it is time for us to take a seat. It is time to listen and learn and be humble. So if you're looking for something more to do, some action you can take, here is some advice and tips from some Black friends. Limit your response to what is of real, tangible help to Black people. Give money, call your reps, protect Black people at protests, elevate our work and our voices, but don't make us swim through your tears while we fight. Here's another one. A promise to make to yourself. I will not tell Black folks how to feel, protest, or mourn. One pastor said, people will text me privately about these issues. White people, but they won't talk about it out loud or publicly. You need to say this is wrong. This isn't just about race. It's about justice. A friend of mine posted this today. Marginalized people do not have to make you feel better, educate you, debate or prove their oppression to you, make you feel comfortable, give your opinion equal weight to their experiences, or earn your respect in order to be treated as human. So a friend of mine posted today, and I thought I would just share part of it. I'm not going to give her name, but she says, as a mixed couple, I've been hesitant to post anything because we were targeted in a hate crime last year. She kind of gives the details about that. They had some racial slurs painted on their home. The act made my spouse and I feel very unsafe, and we worried more about the safety of our children. We became more careful what we posted online because we didn't know if these people were capable of more. We are still obviously scared and mostly concerned for our children. So from one white person to another, I ask that you start or keep talking about race with other white folks. When talking to neighbors, friends, or family, I often hear about feelings of guilt and not knowing what to do. This seems like a normal white experience when we want to learn to be better allies. Keep in mind that these conversations of guilt and not knowing what to do should be processed with other white allies. It isn't people of color's job to educate, console, or make us feel better. There are a lot of resources and books to help us. Talk to a local librarian about books you can read. And then she gave a couple of other places. Check out at White Nonsense Roundup. When people of color talk about racism, listen. Do not try to explain away the experience. I don't know all the answers. I have a lot to learn, but we all need to keep supporting people of color in any way we can. So this was an amazing post by Muriel C. Harper, and I'm just going to read through some of this. She said, social media has been a bit overwhelming, so it has taken me some time to post this. She is an assistant editor and does freelance writing and PR and sensitivity reading and is extremely passionate about diversity and inclusion. So she has a post on Instagram called 10 Steps to Non-Optical Allyship. So the first one is understanding what optical allyship is. Allyship that only serves at the surface level to platform the ally. It makes a statement, but it doesn't go beneath the surface and is not aimed at breaking away from the systems of power that oppress. So she says, check in on your Black friends, family, partners, loved ones, and colleagues. This is an emotional and traumatic time for the community, and you checking in means more than you can imagine. Ask how you can provide support. She says, be prepared to do the work. Understand that coming to terms with your own privilege will not be a pretty or fun experience. It is necessary to feel feelings of guilt, shame, and anger throughout the process. 4, read up on anti-racist works. It is not enough to dislike racism. You need to work towards anti-racism. Avoid sharing content which is traumatic. Whatever your intentions, it's vital to consider sharing videos of Black people being abused and hurt can be both traumatic and triggering for many Black people. Avoid sharing this content as it increases also to the dehumanization of Black people. Donate to funds and support initiatives. Consider supporting platforms and initiatives which support Black people, such as the Minnesota Freedom Fund. Support Black-owned funding platforms and sign petitions. Put your money and your pen where your mouth is. Here's a good one. Do not center this narrative around yourself. While it is nice that you can relate and empathize, now is not the time to insert your personal experiences into a narrative that isn't about you. This is actually harmful and takes away from the severity of the situation. Leave your ego. Keep supporting after the outrage. It should not take an act of brutality or the virality of a situation for you to suddenly show your support. Keep supporting Black media, Black initiatives, charitable organizations, and continuing your work after the attention has died down. Start your long-term strategy. How are you making a long-term impact or affecting change? Can you mentor a young person? Can you become a trustee for an organization that supports the Black community? Could you offer your time to volunteer? Make the effort to do something valuable over a long-term period. And then she gives some more tips and also some further reading. So some ideas for growth if you're looking for resources spiritually or just reading or helping your kids. I'm just going to run through these real quick. And again, those will be in a list on the show notes. So the Become the Bridge with Stephen Furtick and John Gray was an amazing talk. And Become the Bridge is also John Gray's organization. So you can take a look at that. A former pastor of ours, Courtney Beard, I will link to him. He's a pastor here in San Antonio, and he's been doing an ongoing series of live videos discussing this and just being really, really honest about how it's affected him and the Black community. There's a video discussion with Jen Hatmaker and Lisa Sharon Harper called White Women's Toxic Tears. And I haven't listened to the whole thing, but I've heard from several friends that it's very good. And part of it is addressing the woman, Amy Cooper, that was calling the police on the Black man in Central Park and threatening him, basically. There is a list of resources at the National Council of Churches Anti-Racism Resources site. There is a good list of books for talking to kids about protesting at westories.org. Read books to your kids that feature people of color as the protagonist or hero. Read about Black history. Talk about it. Have the difficult discussions. Some of my favorite books to read to my kids and that I read myself, one was Roll of Thunder, Hear My Cry. We did a really good reading on Harriet Tubman. I can't remember the actual title of it, but you can find a book in your library about Harriet Tubman or people like Langston Hughes, Martin Luther King Jr. You know, go find those books and teach your kids about them. Teach them about history. So there are several articles that I'll list talking to white kids about race and racism. 75 things white people can do for racial justice. A list for our white friends desiring to be allies. There's also a really good list and some resources at the National Museum of African American History. A final thought would be to take a look around your circle. If there's not enough diversity around you, change it. Seek it out. Go different places. Join groups. Have friends of all different types so that you can foster understanding so they can understand where you're coming from and you can understand where they're coming from. And if you're looking for some blogs and podcasts from Black military spouses, here are just a handful I'd recommend. Army Wife 101 with Crystal Spell. And she has written a great piece to her sons that I'll link to. There's another one called More Than a Mrs. And she has the Discard It podcast. The Daily Impressions lifestyle blog. And the Bautista Project. So check all of these amazing ladies out. One thing I came away with from the Stephen Furtick and the John Gray talk was some questions they kind of posed at the end. And I thought I would just close with those. So do I see things how God sees them? Do I co-sign racism with my silence? Am I contributing to the problem with my indifference? You can change direction. You can. We can do better. And as John Gray says, become the bridge. We don't need any more soft kumbayas. I hope you'll have the hard conversations with your own family and friends. And share with me some things you've learned or if you have other resources too. I'll talk to you next time. Thanks for listening.